Hello, and welcome to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. Join us as we dive into God's Word and grow together as we strive to love God, love people, and make disciples.
Is it just me, or does your pastor, for those of you NFL football fans, is it just me, or does your pastor look like the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott? Every time I see Nolan, I'm always reminded of Dak. And I'm like, dude, if you ever lose your job with FCA or with your church, you can always just fill in for Dak, you know? And but no, it is definitely an honor and a privilege to be here at Life Church with you today. I certainly am thankful for Nolan, his friendship. I think what I appreciate most about Nolan is how he handles this. He handles this as a workman approved unto God. He handles God's word in a way that holds to its character, its authenticity, its inerrancy. He holds this very high in his life. And I'm very grateful for how Nolan teaches. I'm very grateful for his commitment to the Word of God. And I know that you are as well. And my prayer for us today is that as we break open the bread of life, which one of my favorite things to say is when we open God's Word, He speaks. So let's be ready to listen. Let's be ready to receive what God wants to reveal to us today. And so if you would, please turn in your copy of God's Word or turn on your copy of God's Word. For those of you that like to use your iPhones or your tablets or whatever you use, let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we're going to be today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're also going to be taking a look at into chapter 4 as well. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. I thought it was really, really cool to be able to have a moment where during the worship service, having prayer team members here, and then to have a time just to specifically intercede on your behalf for things that may be a weight in your life, or maybe just something, hey, this is on my heart, I need to pray about this. And the cool thing about prayer is that when we read in the scripture in Romans chapter 8, when you take a look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit and Jesus's ministry while now in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, the Spirit and the Son are both interceding for us according to God's will. Now, how cool is that? All right? That the Holy Spirit is interceding for us with words and groans that we cannot fully understand, and Jesus is also interceding for us as well. So if you don't have anybody else praying for you, just know that you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got the Son of God praying for you today, right now. That's awesome, okay? So prayer for me, though, is a mystery. It's a mystery. It's like a mountain that I perceive as unscalable. But at the same time, I've often reduced the ministry of prayer. I've reduced it from a mountain to a molehill through faithless, repetitive, impersonal, and powerless prayers. Prayer is something that has raised questions in my heart, like, what is prayer? How do I pray? What do I say? Where do I pray? Who am I praying to? You know, when most people pray, whether individually or in a group, they're going to maybe even in a larger church gathering like this, people normally begin their prayers with, like, Dear Jesus, or Heavenly Father, or Dear God. Now, this is a true story. At a previous church where I used to serve on staff, the deacon of the week was assigned with the task of praying before receiving the offering. Okay? On this one particular occasion, the deacon of the week who was scheduled to pray, he was an attorney, a local attorney in our town. And he was very well known. Matter of fact, he was so well known that his father was a state senator. And so this deacon of the week, he comes up during the right before the offertory prayer, and he stands at the pulpit. He asks everybody to just bow your heads, close your eyes, and then he grips both sides of the pulpit, and he begins his prayer with, "Your Honor." True story. I looked up, and I'm going, did he just say that? Did he just say, "Your Honor"? I've never heard anybody say, "Your Honor," like that. You know, prayer is something that is panoramic. In our phones, we have the ability to take panoramic pictures. We can scroll it on over, and then we just try to capture what we're seeing in a wide-angle view, and thankfully, we have technology like this that allows us to take those panoramic pictures. The picture that you're seeing right here is a picture that was taken up in the North Georgia Mountains when my wife and I were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and I saw this landscape of God's creation, and there was no way that I could fit what I was seeing in this little box. And a lot of times that's what we do with prayer, is we try to fit prayer into this little bitty box. But what we've got to realize is that prayer is something that's wide angle. Prayer is something that is panoramic. And a lot of times we have to begin on one side and we have to scan what we're seeing, and we create in this panoramic picture of prayer. It takes a lifetime to fully grasp the width and the depth and the power and the benefit of prayer, but yet when we practice it, it can oftentimes leave us breathless and standing in awe of what the panorama is, of how we are able to see God work, of how we're able to see answers to prayer. So today, what we're going to do is I'm going to unpack some key biblical truths that have helped me to overcome the mystery, the mountain, and the molehill of prayer. And it's my hope that Jesus will open our hearts to the panoramic picture of prayer and give us this wide-angle view of its beauty, of its purpose, and its power. It's my hope that you personally will be able to understand the effectiveness of prayer and have confidence that your prayers are heard. Now, a lot has been written about prayer. I'm just going to give you a little snapshot of people that have stated, made quotes about prayer, and also what the scripture says about prayer. Mark Batterson says that prayer turns appointments into divine appointments. John Piper says prayer causes things to happen. Richard Foster says prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. Henry Blackaby said prayer is not for the purpose of getting God to help us, but for getting us in line with what God is about to do. Someone once said prayer is the highest use to which speech can be put. The late Ruth Graham said, Satan fears prayer because God hears prayer. Well, what does the Bible say? I mean, those are some pretty cool quotes. Those are some awesome comments and about prayer. But what does the scripture say? There's a lot that the scripture says about prayer. These are just summary statements, but I'll give you the text. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot down these passages of scripture so that you can go back and read them and study them yourself as you engage in this privilege of prayer. Proverbs 15:29 says that God hears the prayer of the righteous. James 5:15 says that the prayer offered in faith brings healing. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 and Ephesians 6:19 says that prayer is this earth mover for the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, prayer is the key for deliverance and protection. Colossians 4:2-5 says that devotion to prayer leads to wisdom, greater discernment, and a deeper gratitude. Ephesians 6:18 says that we are to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. John 14:13 says that prayer is designed to glorify the Father. Thousands upon thousands of people pray only in times of stress, danger, or uncertainty. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the scripture says to pray continually. If you take that particular statement, that two-word statement, pray continually, and you don't look at the context from which it is framed, then that particular statement can oftentimes seem like this unscalable mountain and raises that question of how do I do that? How am I, in the busyness of my life, supposed to pray continually? How am I, when I'm trying to raise children, serve my spouse, work at my job, which I'm probably 10 to 11 to 12, maybe more hours a day. For those of you coaches or educators, businessmen and women that are traveling, how am I supposed to take that two-word statement that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually, how am I supposed to do that? That's impossible. So let's put that statement into context. Let's put this into a framework that Paul gives us. So the context in which we read that verse, that pray continually verse, is the backdrop, that framework, is the return of Jesus. It's the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, he says, I'm going to heaven, I'm going there to prepare a place for you, but what did he say? I'll be back. I'm coming back so that you can be where I am. And then Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul explains how that's going to happen, how Jesus is going to come back. So in verse 16 of chapter 4, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, for the Lord himself will come down from the heavens with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So Paul explains how Jesus is going to return. He explains not only how he's going to return, but he also explains who's going to go first. He says the dead in Christ are going to go first. And then he says in verse 18, this is what we're to do while we are waiting. While we are waiting. And the promise of Christ's return is then followed up with clear instructions on how to live until that day. Be self-controlled, Paul continues in chapter 5. Be self-controlled. Be disciplined in life, in love, in faith, in purity, and in speech. Be sober and alert, Paul says. So in waiting for Jesus to come back, which he is coming back, praise the Lord, and he cannot come back soon enough, okay? So Jesus is coming back. While we wait, we're to be self-controlled. Secondly, we're to put on faith, hope, and love. We're to wear it. It's a visible expression of our relationship with the Lord. And then we are to live with and for Christ. In other words, you are on mission. You are divinely designed to do good works. And then we are to encourage one another and to build each other up. And we need to do that daily. Because let's face it. While we're waiting on the Lord, things are not always a bed of roses, right? Things are not always great. There are challenges that we go through. There's death. There's sorrow. There's pain. There's struggle. There's addictions. There are things that we go through in this life. There's conflict. There's arguments. It's not all great. So Paul says, we're to build each other up and to do it daily. But then Paul continues with these instructions in 1 Thessalonians 5, and he says, respect your elders, respect your spiritual leaders, live in peace, warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, be kind, be joyful, give thanks, don't quench the spirit, believe the word, test everything, hold on to the truth, avoid all kinds of evil. But right in the middle of what Paul is outlining for us as followers of Jesus, right in the middle of this is this two-word statement, pray continually. There's the mountain. But we've got to understand that prayer is more than just conversation. Prayer is more than just conversation with someone that you can't see. Prayer is more than just talking. I know that we can put it into simplest terms, like prayer is just talking to God. And for those of, and for some of us, maybe where we are in our spiritual walk, prayer is that. Prayer is talking with God. But I want to take it a little bit deeper. I want to challenge you in your prayer life to understand this one thing. And this is our big idea. And that prayer is communion with God. What is communion? Communion is this sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings. Okay, now we're getting personal. So when we talk about prayer, we're talking about something that is very personal, very intimate, very together. And that's the relationship. It is a communion relationship that we have with the Father. Prayer is deeper than talk. Prayer is living in the presence of God. Prayer is living in the presence of God. God wants you to speak to Him. And you can speak by asking, praising, giving thanks, confessing sin. Prayer is something that can be individual, it can be corporate, it can be audible, or it can be silent. But not only is that prayer time something that's audible or corporate or individual, there are postures of prayer too. Postures of prayer include like standing before the Lord, Genesis 18:22, being seated, lying in bed, lying flat on the ground, people kneeling and bowing. And then there's the encouragement to do both, kneel and bow. People in the Bible would often pray with their hands lifted high. And the big idea is that whether you're speaking, listening, lying down, or standing, prayer places you in the presence of God. Prayer places you in the presence of God. So don't miss this. And if you don't get anything else, you get this right here. To pray continually is to continually live in the presence of your Heavenly Father. To pray continually is to continually live in the presence of your Heavenly Father. You can do that while you're raising your children. You can do that as you go to work each and every day. You can do that in the busyness of life. You can do that through the struggles. You can do that through the conflict. You can do that in any place and time of your life. You can live in the presence of your Heavenly Father. So as we consider this panoramic picture of prayer, I want you to notice three things. First of all is this: prayer connects us to the power of God. Prayer connects us to the power of God. You see, prayer is only as powerful as the one being prayed to. If your prayers are assigned to anyone or anything other than our Heavenly Father, then your prayers are impotent. If your prayers are prayed in somebody else's name other than the name of Jesus, then they're meaningless. I have my little handy-duty flashlight here. doesn't have any batteries. Is it going to work if I try to turn this on? Nope. Not going to work. But if I put in my batteries, I'm not going to blind you, I promise. But if I put in my batteries, I'm able to turn it on. And I have power. Prayer is a lot like that. Sometimes we pray without power because we haven't tapped into the power source. That power source is in the name of Jesus. You see that. You can see that all throughout Scripture. That power source is in the Heavenly Father. I mean, when Jesus teaches us to pray and he taught his disciples to pray, he teaches them the very first thing, our Father. Our Father. That's where the power is. And prayer is something that connects us to the power of God. Prayer is that spiritual weapon in the arsenal that God gives us to fight our spiritual battles with. Of the armor that we read in Ephesians chapter 6, of the armor that God's given to us in Ephesians 6, two are used offensively. That's the Word of God and prayer. It's the Word of God and prayer. God uses prayer in our lives to minister to others. God uses prayer to awaken us to his will and to his word. And the result of prayer, based on Philippians chapter 4, the result of prayer is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind, which are in Christ Jesus. That's what prayer does. It connects us to the power of God. But not only that, prayer causes things to happen. Prayer is not about getting what you want. No, prayer is engaging in the supernatural work that you've been divinely designed to do and impacting the kingdom of God. From one end of the Bible to the other is the record of those whose prayers have been answered. Those who turned the tide of history by prayer. Those who fervently prayed and God answered. Just listen to this. Abraham prayed and God did not destroy the city of Sodom where Abraham's nephew Lot lived. Hezekiah prayed when his city was threatened by the invading armies of the Assyrians. The entire Assyrian army was destroyed and the nation of Israel was spared. Elijah prayed and God sent down fire from heaven and consumed the offering that he had built in the presence of God's enemies. Elisha prayed and raised a dead man from the dead. Jesus prayed and turned five loaves of bread and two fish and fed thousands. The thief prayed while on the cross, and Jesus promised him that he would be with him in paradise. Paul prayed, and churches were born all over the world. John Wesley prayed, and revival came to England. Jonathan Edwards prayed, and revival came to Massachusetts. You have prayed, and you have seen God do amazing things in your life. You have prayed, and you have seen its effect. You have been prayed for, and you have seen its effect. Events have been changed because of prayer. People have been changed because of prayer. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, get this. We have been invited and equipped by our Heavenly Father to engage in the supernatural work and impacting the kingdom of God through the privilege of prayer. John Piper said it this way. If you do not avail yourself of the privilege of bringing to pass events in the universe that would not take place if you didn't pray, you're acting like a colossal fool. If you do not avail yourself of the privilege of bringing to pass events in the universe that would not take place if you didn't pray, you're acting like a colossal fool. But what if God doesn't answer my prayer in the way that I prayed it, Spencer? What if God doesn't answer my prayer? I prayed for healing, but why didn't it happen? I prayed for hope. Why do I still feel hopeless? I prayed for my son's salvation. Why will he not return to the Lord? Those are great questions. They're all legitimate. But I want to encourage you to remember some things about this. First of all, God uses prayer to strengthen our faith in him. God uses prayer to strengthen our faith in him. Prayer is never passive. Prayer is always active. Prayer's work takes persistence, boldness, patience, and humility to say, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." You see, prayer is always about God and his glory. And while we may pray, and our prayers are not answered in the way that we think they ought to be answered, God will answer prayer that specifically gives him glory. And if he is to receive glory in the way that your prayer should be answered, then it'll be answered according to his will. But, if your prayers are not answered, just know this, that it is still for God's glory. It's still for his glory, and that is what our aim is in this life. Our purpose, our sole purpose, is to bring God pleasure, to bring God glory. And if our prayers, whether they're answered or not answered in the way that we want them to be answered, the final point with that is that God is glorified in all things. In all things. Thirdly, prayer opens our eyes to watch God work. Prayer opens our eyes to watch God work. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. It says that God works so that people will be in awe. You see, God works for his glory. God answers prayer specifically for his glory. So here's the question I want to ask you real quick. What have you seen God do regarding something that you've prayed for? What was your response? Was it awe? Was it speechlessness? What was it? I can promise you this. As you see God answer prayer, as you see God work, your confidence to pray will grow. As you see God work, your confidence to pray will grow. You see, prayer opens our eyes to the movement of God and causes us to worship him and his glory. Praying continually places us in the presence of God. So, what can you do with what you've just heard? What can you do with what you've just heard? Here's an action step. If this is something that you've often had questions about, or how do I do this? Where do I start? Well, I want to encourage you to start where Jesus started, with the disciples. When they asked him to teach us to pray, where did Jesus start? He said, "Begin here, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. So develop a habit of prayer. And the best way that we can develop this habit of prayer is take the example, the lesson that Jesus taught his disciples, go back to that point, and begin with the Lord's Prayer. Here's the thing about the Lord's Prayer and what it enables us to do, okay? Here's what the Lord's Prayer enables us to do. First of all, it will enable us to seek first God's kingdom. There's nothing else that matters in this life. Your kingdom doesn't matter. You can't build a big enough kingdom. There's no way. your family, as important as they are, in the scope of eternity, what's more important? Your family or God's kingdom? That's a loaded question. God's kingdom, obviously. That's what matters. Seek first. Praying the Lord's Prayer enables you to seek first God's kingdom. There's nothing else that matters. Praying the Lord's Prayer enables you to discipline the wandering mind. All right, I love this one. Is it just me? And I may be the only one in here that really struggles with this, because y'all may have an incredible prayer life, and when you sit down to pray, y'all have no interruptions in your mind, right? I mean, everything's good. Maybe when you're reading your Bible, I mean, you don't begin to think about what you've got to do for that day or all of the to-do list, you know, you don't think about what is going on at work. You don't think about another person. You know what I call those? Now, this is just me. Like I said, y'all may not deal with that at all. Hopefully you don't. But if you do, this is what I refer to those things. When the mind begins to wander, I call those monkeys. All right? It's like when I'm sitting down, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, and then all of a sudden, man, I got to call Stephen today. God bless you. I got to call Stephen today. Or I've got to call all my staff today. And so I'm reading God's word, and I'm trying to write down what God's trying to show me and what he's trying to teach me. And then all of a sudden, these monkeys are starting to drive me nuts in my mind, going, they're just going crazy. I'm like, Lord, I can't think. I got all this stuff going on in my mind. How do I deal with this? All right. So I take the monkeys in my mind. All right. And I just write them down. I'll say, all right, here we go. All right, call Stephen. Now I'll give me a right back, because I've just put that monkey in its place. All right. He's no longer in my mind anymore. He's gone. He's over there. So I just kind of begin to make a list, and I make that a part of my time with the Lord. All right. That's important. And I do need to handle those things, but it's reality. Okay. It's a reality that we all have things in our minds that really go nuts and cause us to wander from our prayer time. And the third thing is that the praying the Lord's Prayer enables you to build a fence so that your prayers can just run wild inside. Praying for specific things. Now, how can we, as the church, have a more powerful prayer life? How can we, as the church, have a more powerful prayer life? When you pray, pray like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. You come in Jesus' name. You pray with purpose and persistence. You pray verbally and vocally. God wants to hear your prayer. You pray specifically. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, it says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, Lord, I order my prayer to you, and I will eagerly watch. Specific. Pray expectantly. And finally, pray continually. Because praying continually puts you and causes you to live in the presence of your Heavenly Father. Can I pray for you? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this ministry of prayer. Father, you are worthy to be praised. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. And God, you have given us this weapon of prayer to be used in a way, one, to draw us closer to you. But God, you've also given us this ministry of prayer to be a weapon that we can use in our battles, that we can use as we minister to other people, that we can use to be defenders of the faith. You've given us this ministry of prayer so that we could have intimate fellowship and communion with you, so that we can know you more, so that we can hear from you and have our hearts ministered to by your Spirit. And God, my prayer is that we would understand the effectiveness of prayer and that we would have a greater level of confidence that you hear us when we pray. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you, Father, for their ministry of prayer. And God, I'm grateful that you have allowed us the opportunity to be encouraged today through your word to pray in Jesus' name, to pray with purpose and persistence, to pray continually, to pray with specificity. God, to pray expectantly, to pray and have our eyes open to the movement of you. And God, when we see you work, I pray that we will stand in awe and we will glorify you. For it's in Jesus' mighty name that I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. For more information about our church, including service times and ministry opportunities, check out our website at lifechurchofathens.com and follow us on social media at lifechurchath.